In 1994, at 17 years old, I was sexually assaulted by a non-Native man that I did not know. I had missed the last city bus, and with no other options, I started to walk home. I remember seeing him on the street underneath the streetlights. He greeted me, and I got so scared that I immediately started running. I could hear his footsteps behind me. He yanked me by the hair and dragged me across the street to this little enclave by the side of a closed restaurant. After the sexual assault, he asked me what I was going to do. I don't know why he asked me that. I ran to an open warehouse, which was the Anchorage Daily News. They're prepping the newspaper for the next day. In 2014, my children were 2 and 8 years old, and by this time I owned my own home. I woke up in the middle of the night to the doorbell ringing over and over, 1 minute, 5 minutes. It was my ex, and he did not live at my home. He didn't pay any bills. He didn't have any belongings at my residence. Not knowing what to do, in a panic, I cracked the door open to see what he wanted, and he forced his way inside. And so I'm chasing him around the house. I tell him to get out. I call the cops. I call my mother, both who arrive. And while I'm chasing him around the house, I break his glasses. And for the longest time, I felt this enormous guilt for breaking his glasses. The cops arrive, and instead of arresting him for forcible entry, trespassing, child endangerment, I was arrested for criminal mischief. I was arrested for breaking his glasses. And so I was brought down to the city jail, and I remember the correctional officer taking my picture saying, "Smile for the camera." And I instinctively smiled, and I can't get that out of my mind the way that he said that. Smile for the camera. I had to obtain a very expensive attorney with a $2,000 retainer, but he offered a 24-hour phone line, which I needed in case I had to call him again in the middle of the night. All the charges were dropped, but I was still investigated for possible child neglect, for, quote, exposing my children to a dangerous individual, end quote, which was also dropped. And I no longer have any guilt about breaking his glasses. I would just like to give his glasses a big middle finger, really. In 2022, I receive a call from the Anchorage Police Department cold case unit. They found a DNA match to the sexual assault that happened in 1994, nearly 30 years prior. And can I come down and look at a photo lineup? And I did. I positively identified the man that matched the DNA, even though it had been 30 years, I knew it was him. And I sat down with the investigating detective, and he asked me how I got there, how I got to the police station. And I said, well, I drove. I have my own vehicle. And he asked me, have you been drinking today? Because I thought I smelled alcohol on you when I saw you in the lobby. And I was furious. I told him that I have a professional and educational career, that I have been sober for 20 plus years, that I'm about to be a published author. And none of these things I should have to explain as a citizen, as a real human being. Most of us are familiar with the acronym MMIW, or Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women. What is the cause of MMIW? The stereotype of a Native woman, an Indigenous woman, as a rape victim is that, well, she was drunk. on Fourth Avenue, and she was raped by another indigenous drunk. Because rapists tend to rape within their own racial demographic, within their own race, white on white, black on black. Except for indigenous women. In Anchorage, up to 66% of our rapists, of our perpetrators, they're non-native, they're white. White men raping native women, up to 66%. And yet, as indigenous peoples, even as children, we've internalized this question, why are all natives drunks on Fourth Avenue, when we should be internalizing the question, why do colonizers keep colonizing? Why do colonizers keep colonizing? Why do colonizers keep colonizing? The governments in US and Canada have invested millions of dollars into the indigenous woman as an individual to expand our education and opportunities into childcare and job security. In 2020, a non-native social media influencer was on a live feed and the issue of MMIW came up and she said, the indigenous community, they don't do anything about it. They just let it happen. The governments have also invested millions of dollars into the indigenous community to expand opportunities and options into childcare and job security. But in the little time that you and I have together, I want to plant a seed to everybody in this audience and everybody that will listen to this podcast, that the cause of MMIW does not lie within the indigenous woman. Thank you. The cause of MMIW does not lie within the indigenous community. The cause of MMIW lies within the criminal justice systems which refuse to give us justice. The cause of MMIW lies within the abuse and neglect by our own governments. And if you are to accept this premise, I ask that you seek transparency in every spoke of the wheel that is the criminal justice system. I ask if you are to accept this premise that you seek transparency until we are treated as real human beings. Thank you.